grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord God, and come. With your abundant grace and might, free us from the sin that hinders our faith, that eagerly we may receive your promises, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
First reading is a reading from Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 6. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David. Is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted." The word of the Lord. Let's pray Psalm 80 responsibly. Hear, O shepherd of Israel, leading Joseph like a flock. Shine forth, you that are enthroned upon the cherubim.
In the presence of Benjamin and Jesus, stir up your strength and come to us.
Restore us, O God. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved.
O Lord God,
you have fed them with bread of tears. You have given them bowls of tears to drink.
You have made us a derision of our neighbors, and our enemies laugh at us in scorn.
Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved.
Let your hand be upon the one at the right hand, the one by whom you have made so strong for yourself.
And so we will never turn away from you. Give us life that we may call upon your name.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as was in the beginning, is now,
and will be forever.
Amen.
Second reading is a reading from Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart from the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The gospel concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be God, or Son of God, with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name, including yourselves, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all God's beloved in Rome, who are called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord. Every year, Bishop Fink, our synodical bishop, writes a letter, an article for the Synod newsletter about St. Joseph. And I have borrowed heavily from his article that was in the newsletter a couple weeks ago. So this is mostly Murray, some me, but the inspiration is definitely from Murray. The memories came flooding back to Joseph's mind as he tossed and turned, as he tried to sleep that night. He kept remembering his father's rhyme. It was running through his head, and he heard that sing-song that he'd heard so often as a child when he worked with his father in the woodshop that had been in the family for generations. "Little job, big or small, do it right or not at all." And that's why his family had done so well and had earned such a respected place in the community. Every piece they made was made to perfection, built to precision, sanded and rubbed and shaped beautifully, stained and varnished and oiled. Each piece was a masterpiece of functional art. Do it right. Do it right. And so he did, Joseph, that righteous man, in the shop, in the home, in the community, in the synagogue. He was honest, obedient, respectful. He was brimming with integrity. He was faithful to God and to his family and neighbors alike. No wonder people called him a righteous man. But this night, a fitful night, Joseph lay awake, remembering something else that his father had told him. Matthias, that's Joseph's father, had a younger brother. I guess you'd call him the black sheep of the family. When he was in his early 20s, knowing that he was not going to inherit the carpentry shop, this uncle of Joseph's brazenly went to his father, Eleazar, and asked for his share of his inheritance, and then squandered it all with his wandering eye and his lustful heart. His all-too-public antics wounded and embarrassed his parents and his older brother and the whole extended family. Now, by rights and customs of that day, this unruly son should have been disowned by his family. He should have been forbidden to ever set foot on their property. But several times every day, Eleazar would climb to the loft in the shop and gaze longingly at the road to to see if perhaps this was the day that his son might come back home. Would you have him back? Matthias asked his father. He knew that friends and family had asked him the same thing. And Eleazar's answer was unwavering. I know what my son has done, how he hurt himself, how he soiled our family's name. I know that I should proclaim it wide and far that he is never welcome back in this house or in this shop again. I have every right to do that, to honor our family, and to keep our family's name respectable by doing that. But even deeper down, and by this time Eleazar's eyes were brimming with tears as he got to this part in his unwavering answer, I believe it's better to be close than right. And so this wayward son did come, straggling, limping back home with nothing but his soiled, filthy life in tow. And Eleazar opened the portals of his heart and home in a real and warm welcome. From time to time, Matthias would remind his son, his older son, Joseph, of that story. And he would always accent his father's words, it's better to be close than right. Joseph never grew tired of hearing this long and colorful history of his family tree. And he knew that someday he would tell his own children that story of his grandfather and his uncle. But this night, Joseph couldn't sleep. He was convinced of what he had to do now that his beloved betrothed was expecting a child of which he had nothing to do with its conception. He loved his Mary. He could hardly believe that this had happened to her or to him. How did it happen that his innocent young Mary was even capable of such unfaithfulness? He could not understand her mysterious, far-fetched explanation of how this had happened. But now he could see that this pregnancy was real. And he had every right, by law and by code of morality in that community, to publicly disgrace her, to humiliate her, to cast her aside. It could not be much worse for him in that small village, but at least he would save some face by showing his righteous indignation and his intolerance for her unfaithfulness. It was the proper thing to do in Nazareth. It would help to hold up that family badge of honor. It's the right thing to do. And that echoed in his mind until finally he fell asleep. And he dreamed. He dreamed that night about that homecoming reception for his rebellious uncle. He heard again the voice of his grandfather, Eleazar. It's better to be close than right. But a mysterious light interrupted his dream, and a gentle voice encouraged him to no longer be afraid. Joseph, take Mary and accept her, and accept her condition, and accept her child, for it is all from God, the same God that you love so deeply. Then, and in the days to follow, he learned of even higher and greater rights, the rights of God to usher in a new day and a new way. Now, fully awake, this righteous one began a journey on a path to the fulfillment of those dreams, to be close and to follow the righteousness of God. When the baby was born, Joseph was there, close. He loved and protected this little one, whose arrival had already taught Joseph new ways to believe. The father named his son. It was the right thing to do. He cared for him as his own. He taught him the family trade. He told him stories of his family's lineage. They were very close, this father and this son. And this son, this amazing son, had come to make absolutely certain that all of God's beloved children would be forever close to God, close to him, and close to one another. Amen.